Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like history, the visual arts, communications, and comparative religion. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by Rabbi Harry Rosenfeld, the rabbi at Congregation Albert in Albuquerque, and the Reverend Bob LaValle, a minister at the First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque, two religious communities that have moved completely online during the pandemic.
I want to say thank you again so much for taking the time to have this conversation with us. I am thinking about things I have never thought about. And one of the things about religious communities is that it's not just the services, right? But there's a ton of other stuff, from religious education to pastoral care to work within the community. So what is that looking like at this time?
It was a painful decision to shut the campus down, but we decided that the only program that we would continue live on our campus was our food pantry, given the severity of the need. And so still once a week, we're handing out 100 bags of groceries, and with a lot of precautions and reworking to make it safe. But beyond that, everything is online. And some things have translated well, and some things have not translated well. We have covenant groups that seem to be functioning pretty well. Those are small group spiritual direction kind of activities. It's been a real challenge for our children and youth religious education to make the transition, but our staff has done incredible work being creative. But, you know, the attention span is shorter. You know, when you're dealing with children 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, we're asking that a parent be in the room with the child. Unlike when we do live worship, you know, the parent drops the kid off, goes to worship. It's so much harder to keep a young child focused on Zoom compared to in person, and it's not embodied, so that's been a struggle.
Can I ask, Reverend Bob, with the parents in the room, though, is there any silver lining there, like a little more involvement from the parents themselves or like a bonding?
Making a sweeping generalization, our parents are exhausted right now, and online school is such a huge burden, and they really don't want to spend more time online. And it's a real struggle.
And doing like the behavior management kind of thing for yet another session. Yeah, I get that.
Exactly. It's pretty joyless. Yeah.
Our kids' enrollment's at about 35-40% of usual for online. And since it's Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings, a lot of parents told us they were not going to sign their kids up this year because the kids are doing it 5 days a week. And there was one parent, although others have mentioned it, but one parent said it so well. After years of trying to cut my child's screen time, I have totally lost the battle. And I'd never thought of that reality before. Our adult education program, though, has really been incredible this year. I'm part of a coaching group of rabbis. We meet once a year, but we're all very close and have become close over the past 15 years or so. And one of the guys, unfortunately not me, because I would have loved to have been this brilliant to have come up with this idea, suggested that we do a program that we call Scholars in Their Residence. And he coordinated the first 6, which were over the summer, and I've sort of taken over the coordinating of the subsequent pieces of the series. And we've been able to pool our resources and be able to afford speakers that we could never afford on our own. And it's just been this incredible thing. And we have 12 congregations, and we get 150 to 200, although the one that was the same time as the Super Bowl was way less. But it's recorded and online, so people can come back to it. But, you know, we get close to 200 people for these things that if any of us did it on our own, we'd get 12 to 50 people. So here we do not mute people when they come in, and we keep the chat open because we ask people to post questions in the chat, and then one of us asks the questions. But these people, they start going, yeah, I'm in Miami, I'm in LA, I'm in Albuquerque, I'm in El Paso, I'm in New Jersey, you know. As good as the speakers have been, that has just been so amazing to have these people from literally the span of the country. All of a sudden, feeling connected to congregations, communities, and individuals that they never would have ever thought of. It's been a real blessing to have this. and to be able to really bring in speakers that we could not afford. We can afford them as a group because, one, they're online and we're not paying for travel and expenses. Two, we're not asking people to speak here for an hour or two. We usually go about an hour, hour and a quarter when we're online. But if we bring someone in to speak here for an hour, they want a larger fee because they had to travel. So people have been very willing to cut their fees down to the bare minimum. And what they've told us is that they're enjoying it a lot, and they're hoping that when people can be in person and whatnot, that congregations will invite them in and they could do things in person. So that's been a real boon to all of our communities.
Have you found that within your congregation, with this ability to reach out because travel doesn't matter anymore, that there's a deeper sense of your faith being part of a bigger collective faith?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe not if we were in New York or LA or Miami or, you know, some of those places, because there's so many congregations and it's easy to collaborate and cooperate. We don't have that opportunity here. And as much as we may talk about being part of a larger Reformed Jewish movement, right, it's droning after a while, whereas this makes it real. Especially the series over the summer, we started purposely with a series about Reformed Judaism, and we had six speakers who were really great.
Yeah, I think Unitarian Universalism is a weird little denomination that people often struggle to wrap their head around because it's kind of unconventional, but there's a tendency, I think, in UU congregations to be inward focused and not have a sense that we're part of a larger movement. The senior minister, Reverend Angela, is on sabbatical for 4 months. I've had the great pleasure to line up the pulpit supply for those weekends where I'm not going to be preaching. Because it's a pandemic, I'm able to get all my favorite preachers. You know, yesterday we had a great minister from San Diego come in, and, you know, really prominent UU ministers, which is a kind of an oxymoron, like famous UU ministers. But so it creates these opportunities because there's a porousness, right, that we're not separated by a plane anymore.
I kind of want to ask both of you, what about the other aspects that I think are so important in religious life, weddings, funerals, bar and bat mitzvahs, and Reverend Bob, you'll have to forgive me. I don't know if there are coming of age rituals.
That's what we call it, coming of age, yeah.
So are you doing those? And if you are, how are you doing those? So what is that looking like for both of you? I mean, are people putting off weddings? They can't put off funerals, and you come of age when you come of age. So what do?
It's fascinating to me. Both the opportunities it's providing and the limitations that are required. So I'm just going to go age. So for naming ceremonies, those are all virtual. There's no way around that. You know, I could have three N95 masks on and I don't want to be anywhere near a vulnerable child.
Are Moyles doing brisses?
Yes. I have noticed, however, that the circumcision is happening not on the eighth day, but in the hospital before the child's released to go home. With bar and bat mitzvah, we've been doing all of ours virtually, and we don't restrict who someone has in their yard, right? We may think they're crazy for having that many people, and they may not be wearing masks, but that's their personal property, and we're not there. So Cantor Finn and I are online, they're online. I have them come to the synagogue and pick up a Torah scroll so that they have it at the house, although they're not reading from it. We actually have one family coming up who has a connection with an historic synagogue that does not have a congregation really anymore, but has been preserved and is maintained by surrounding communities that do have one. And he has a family connection to that. And so they're making arrangements where they'll be in that synagogue and Cantor Finn and I will be online. Weddings, we have so far done all of our weddings in person beyond socially distanced. None of this 6 foot stuff, you know, 12, 15 feet. And the only people who are ever unmasked are the bride and groom or the groom and groom or the bride and bride, because at some point they have to kiss. And you got to figure if they're getting married, they're part of their own little pod. Confirmation, which is our 16-year-old 10th grade ceremony, we still haven't done the service for the 2020 class because they want to be together physically. So they requested a postponement. This year's class of 21, I'm sure it will be virtual or they may postpone. That's their choice. Funerals, however, it's interesting you say they can't be postponed. We do as many as possible virtually. funerals are not covered by the 25% rule that worship services are. They're considered gatherings in New Mexico. They can only have 5 people right now because we're still a red county in the state system. They can only have 5 people plus the clergy, plus the cemetery worker or funeral home worker. So what we've done with that is only one of us, either Cantorfin or I, go to the cemetery. And the other one is running the Zoom from their house and also participating from their home. And we bring an iPhone or an iPad and we Zoom it from there. And then the Shiva services or the Shiva gatherings, the memorial parts that people do at home afterwards, that's all virtual. But the reason it's interesting you say they can't postpone, because I have not done a single memorial service, burial, or funeral service where it hasn't listed in the obituary. And there will be something when we can all get back together. They may call it a memorial service, a celebration of life, or whatever. That could be a year and a half, 2 years later. I'm going to be fascinated to see how many of these actually happen. But everybody's planning that.
For the family to get together in a larger context.
Right. You know, and not just for the dedication of the memorial stone.
I wonder if when the pandemic ends, there'll be this period of huge amount of mourning services for specific people that might also act as a period of mourning for us as a culture about what we lost in the year and a half or 2 years that this has gone down.
That'll be interesting.
It could be cathartic, you know, it could be powerful.
So I have agreed to do one more wedding in person, and that's for my adopted family, the family that kind of took me in when my mother died and it was just my dad and me. Their granddaughter is getting married. And I said, look, you know, it's in September. I said, if I'm fully vaccinated by then, I'll travel. If I'm not, I'm not coming. And we'll do it virtually. I'll be there. You can get whatever size screen you would like. And they just had another family wedding the other day. And the great uncle, who's also a rabbi, did part of the ceremony zooming in from Israel. So it's something that they're partially used to, at least. But yeah, since I'm expecting to be vaccinated by 2029, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it by September, but I'd really like to be there. This is close family. When my father-in-law died back in April, Michelle and I went back for the burial and then to clean out the house. But that was April. And the largest number of people we had on an airplane at that point was 8, including the crew. And there was nobody in the airport. I mean, not workers, not anybody. So now it's very different where everything's crowded again. And I know I'm not flying unless it's an emergency and until I'm fully vaccinated.
And Reverend Bob, what about at the Unitarian Church? What are your life cycle events looking like?
Pretty much the same. We won't do anything inside. And if pressed, we'll do things outside with a lot of precautions. So I've done graveside committals, but with a lot of distancing and short and sweet and out of there. Well, maybe not sweet, but yeah, we take it seriously. I think we can accomplish a lot over Zoom, so it's worked pretty well.
Reverend Bob, Rabbi Rosenfeld, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about religious life online, virtually, during the pandemic. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
If you would like more information, you can visit Congregation Albert online at congregationalbert.org and the First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque at uuabq.com. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.